No pump today and no headphones today. What is wrong with this, Limits? What's gone wrong?
Your headphones are not working.
There we go.
There we go.
Seeing Crowley is always a treat, is it not?
It is.
And Doran, I think I insulted Doran accidentally.
Here's Crowley right here to come and say hello.
Is he?
Joe was just saying how happy he was to see you this morning.
Oh, that's nice.
I accidentally insulted Doran by asking who was the best athlete on his pit team. I had a song that rhymed something with Greg Romeus. It was a Malzy song. I forget what I even rhymed it with. And I said, was he the best athlete on your team or the fastest guy on your team? And Doran said, no, I was the fastest guy. I should have known that, Limits. He was a 4.35.
Did you rhyme it with harmonious?
I can't remember what I rhymed it with.
That yeah, Doran was the fastest man on that team, though.
Beside the point right now that I accidentally insulted Doran. It's unfortunate that Bob's not here. I thought it was one of the most unbelievable facts in fan history that Bob, who only makes it here three times a week, did the show by himself on Memorial Day.
Yes, he did.
On a beautiful Memorial Day. There's Bob. How did that happen, Limits?
It was you working the morning show.
I know what the schedule was. Yes.
Bob, the midday show, yeah. And me, the PM team. Just because Bob is one of the ultimate grinders in our business. No matter if it's a holiday, if it's a vacation day, Bob
works very
hard.
What about like Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Wednesdays? What about those days? You didn't find it ironic that he was here to do a full show on Memorial Day?
Yeah, I did. just a little bit. Well, Bob has big plans this week. He was telling me
about. I don't know if ironic is the right word there. It's wonderful to see you.
Great to see you as well, Joe. Good to be back.
It's a lot going on.
A lot going on.
What? No. I don't know. Well, I don't know how to turn this thing off. Intern Dom and I did a great show yesterday. In some ways, it was more enjoyable than the shows we do. But that's because...
Wonderful to hear.
And you enjoyed doing the show by yourself, too. Let's just be honest to kick this thing off.
Yeah, I thought it was fun.
And one of the things we talked about was he said you dress like a large person, and you're not.
Who does? Intern Dom?
Intern Dom said that about you.
Intern Dom has no room to talk.
No, I think he's right. And we talked about an intervention with you on a number of fronts.
Oh, did you?
We were going to invite you maybe to Pony or Doran's house and have the whole crew intervene with you on a number of topics. And we've hired a trained therapist to help guide us in this in case you become combative.
I will become combative, yes.
Things like that we're going to know how to deal with because we're going to do some dry runs on confronting you on a number of issues. And I think Dom, one of his issues with you is the way you dress. I'm just telling you what he said.
Well, I could care less about how Dom feels about how I dress.
All right. See, that's what I mean. So it's like Limits responds that way. How do we respond to him?
How about this?
And I have a script now. He says you dress like a very large person, that you wear baggy t-shirts.
I do like my t-shirts bigger, yeah. No, I don't wear baggy shorts, but I do like my t-shirts bigger, yeah. I'll admit that. I don't care. It's just what I like to wear.
Okay.
How about this? I did the PA announcing for the two Whipple Volleyball Championships this weekend.
Yes.
Shaler won the 2A championship, and the coach at Shaler, as I was walking out and I told him congratulations because I've called a couple of his matches before, Paul Stadelman said to me, Austin, you tell Dom to stop tweeting about the Pirates so much and tweet about Shaler for once.
Wow.
How about that?
Wow.
And I said, I will do my best, Paul.
Yeah. I sense a little rivalry there, perhaps a budding rivalry, but I also think he made some good points, and I think we're going to be trained well. And
it's a good friendship between Dom and I.
Is it?
I'd say so. Does Dom say otherwise?
No. Moral of the story is you're dressed up today, which makes me wonder if you heard our show the other day.
No, I did not.
Why do you never wear a button-down shirt like that? What's up?
That's because I'm going from here to call a Whipple baseball championship game.
Between who?
Indiana and Elizabeth Forward.
Where?
Washington.
What time?
Wild Things.
I disagree. I said what time?
Four.
All right. Now that we have that out of the way, Limits,
yes.
Again, it strikes me that people are always saying, and they did this weekend when I was out and about, how do you find stuff to talk about? I said, you wouldn't believe all the stuff we leave on the editing room floor.
Before we get there, can I address the Malzy taking a shot at me and Dom?
Yeah, we addressed that as well.
I did not hear it.
You're getting it. Part of that. You're getting it from all sides here.
Apparently so.
This week. But I think it's out of a place of love, but go ahead.
I do too. This is what Malzi said.
If all of our current fan hosts were doing this and actually jockeying for a job, do you know who I think the finals would come down to, Donnie? Be the guy across from me versus nope. Crowley, believe it or not.
I think it would be Austin Bechtold versus intern Dom. I had
really?
Somebody say to me today.
That's so.
Intern Dom or Austin Bechtold, one of them will be the next Colin Cowherd, and we'll see who's going to win the race to get there.
Did this person sign it to you because they're deaf?
That's a great line.
Sheesh, Malzi.
A great line by Malzi, but high praise from Pony. And if anybody should feel insulted coming out of that exchange, it's me and Doran. And anybody else? Me and Doran? No, me and Doran. And Bob, really.
That was a Muhammad Ali haymaker from Malzi there.
Yeah.
That was a knockout punch.
It was.
Ooh.
More subtle punch in the gut from Pony to me.
And then Malzi even recused himself and said, "Actually, no, I like those guys. That was too harsh." Well, you said it, Malzi.
Do you feel resentful toward Malzi?
No.
Okay. Because he's going to be one of the point men in the intervention.
But if I'm going to have early onset Malzi disease, then I should be taking these shots. That shouldn't be a problem then.
I guess I'm defeating the point of the intervention by letting you know all the details except for the time and date.
Well, there won't be an intervention anyway. I won't show up.
That's the whole point. It's a surprise.
Hmm.
You'll see.
So when I get invited to Pony's house for the first time ever,
right?
I wonder what this is about.
Exactly. All right. We got a million things to talk about, perhaps contrary to popular belief here. And I wanted to start with two very prominent people who could be here and maybe should be here and who aren't here that we know of, at least. It's early yet. It's 10 after 10. Limits. And one of them I don't feel like we've talked about enough. The Pirates, because they stink, this issue has been sort of covered up. If they were any good, the only thing we would be talking about is where the blank is Bubba Chandler.
Yes.
This guy just threw a no-hitter. Was it yesterday? For six innings.
Yes, Saturday. Six and a third total innings. He went six, no hit.
He has like a two-something, low two ERA, I think maybe the best in AAA. He's the number two prospect in all of baseball. I think so many of us are saddled with prospect derangement syndrome. And between that and early onset Malzi disease, my God, you're dealing with a lot. But I think a lot of us get so wrapped up in, I had to talk about prospect, I don't want to hear about any prospects. Another prospect. It's all we ever hear about with the Pirates is prospects. I don't care. This guy's the number two prospect in all of baseball. Have we talked about this enough?
No, we have not.
That's my question.
Not at all. We have not. And I think part of that is maybe because we just had the number one prospect in all of baseball, number two guy in Skeens that came up.
Maybe.
Just a year ago.
Maybe.
That all the attention was put towards him, and the attention is still on him. Where not enough due credit is being given to Chandler and what he's doing.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about prospects. We have not prospects. You know, it's people just because they have a vision that's not necessarily wrong that every trade the Pirates have ever made is
going to be bad.
No, it's going to be for prospects.
Well, that too.
And people are constantly talking about the farm system and prospects and they get sick of it. And I completely understand that. Combine that with the fact that position players, Ben Cherington has struck out more than Tommy Pham, who struck out looking, by the way, in his last start and got away with it. Did you see that one early
in
the game?
I did, on a ball that was right there for a strike.
Yeah, then gets picked off second later in the game. Keep running him out there, right? Keep him on the roster. And I understand it was because Reynolds tweaked a back that day. Why is that guy still on the roster? Pham, not Reynolds, although you could probably make a case for both at this point.
Well, he didn't tweak his back. He had something else, Joe.
Yeah, he just felt a little tightness in the trunk.
Tightness in the trunk. So all of these things, the Pirates stinking, their inability to have any position players rocket through the system, and maybe as Jason Mackey wrote the other day, either or both, the injuries that have befallen Jared Jones since his kind of early recall, although it wasn't really early. It was just surprising because it was the Pirates. And then Paul Skeens, you're right about that. That in that case, they called him up early enough to where he got Rookie of the Year. And that killed a year of service. Am I right about that? I get very confused over those things.
Yes, both Skeens and Jones lost a year of service last year because Jones was on the roster and Skeens Rookie of the Year.
And then you had Jones's injury problems.
Correct.
So Mackey theorized that, you know, perhaps both of those situations is helping to keep Bubba Chandler in the minors. Listen, at this point, where do they need to get to? And it's one of the most amazing situations in all of sports that nobody knows, including the teams, how long they have to have a guy to protect themselves and keep a year of service. I've never seen anything like it. Well, how long do you have to keep him in the minors to make sure that you get that extra year? Oh, we don't know. We're just guessing. What?
Well, what the Cubs did with Chris Bryant is they called him up like 2.5 weeks into the season years ago, but he ended up having an extra year of arbitration. The Super 2 deadline is a deadline that
I'm already
moves.
Confused. I already don't care.
Yeah.
And nothing against you. But that's the thing that people...
Oh, it's so inside baseball, it makes no sense.
Well, even the inside baseball people don't know.
Yes.
That's my point. The teams don't know. It's ridiculous.
No, there's no Super 2 date.
When can they be? I don't even know what Super 2 is, and it's my job to know. I've read it a trillion times. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. But basically, to protect, first of all, you want to lower arbitration payments.
Yeah,
Pirates are always interested in not paying people. I get that. So are a lot of other teams. And the idea that if you keep him down longer, you keep him from being, I don't know, is it one or two in the Rookie of the Year race? If he does that, he also kills a year of service
time. Yeah, top two.
Yeah, off the end of his contract. Maybe they don't want him to do that. At this point, with the team stinking, I can wait a couple weeks. So my simple question to you is if they wait another week or two, are they safe on everything? Can they call this guy up in a week or two so we can watch him?
What I think they're going to ultimately do is call him up.
You didn't answer my question. And again, I don't blame you because you're now like Ben Charrington if I asked him that question. If they wait 2 weeks on Bubba Chandler, are they safe on all these fronts?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe so.
End of story. I'm okay then. Give him another start in AAA and get him up here. That's the way I feel. Now, if they were any good, like any good, within 7 games or something of a wild card, I would be screaming from the rooftops that he should have been here yesterday and the day before and the week before and the week before. And maybe you can't really say him not being here has contributed to the team stinking because their starting pitching's been good, very good. So I can't say that. So I'm okay with this. You know, I don't want to be okay with it, but I'm okay with it. I always believe you should have your best team on the field. But given the ramifications here, if it's just another week or two, I'm all right with it. Are you?
And I'm entirely fine with it. If they were good, I think he probably would have came up for the Milwaukee series. But now they're just going to make it like a Garrett Cole plan and bring him up in the middle of June, second week of June. He'll probably end up starting against Philadelphia on the 6th, 7th, or 8th at home. And then they'll end up right at that Super 2 deadline. Yeah, it's fine. There's no rush to bring him up here right now.
I wish they would
just
say,
because you're not competing for anything.
Yeah, I wish they would just say that. Instead of giving us these lines about, you know, he's got to improve this and that. I don't even know if they've given us these lines. But they haven't said, yeah, we're doing it for money purposes. Or not a chance to come out and say that.
But I wish they did. If you had some truth serum.
Yeah, if you had some truth serum. Instead, we have Ben Charrington talking about the Greensboro Grasshoppers. Sure, that's a welcome subject in the city, right?
Yes.
Do you have that? Did you clip that?
I was looking
for it. Was
it
unsolicited? Did somebody ask him about the Grasshoppers?
Well, I think what Joe Blog was saying was organizationally trying to win throughout the whole entire system.
Where did Joe Blog come into this conversation?
Wasn't this on the Sunday show with Charrington?
His weekly radio show. So he asked him about the Grasshoppers?
I don't think he asked about the Grasshoppers. I think it was unsolicited. The Grasshoppers have been playing some good baseball.
Well,
Connor Griffin.
Thank God for that.
He's there.
Thank God that the Grasshoppers are playing well. When a team is performing at that level, it's worth mentioning, Charrington said on his show. They're like barely above high school. They're in high A. That's me editing. And then Charrington says, what's exciting is we've got a group of position players there who are not household names, maybe. You think?
At
high class A, in terms of being way up on prospect lists and things like that, but are really performing well at pretty young ages for high A. They've all taken a step forward since last year. All of them? The whole roster? And he finishes by saying, that's an exciting development for the Pirates. It's important that we see that. Actually, it's not. Team success at that level doesn't matter one bit. I would rather have a single player or two players rocketing through there, helping that team maybe while they're there, but mostly helping them and eventually helping the actual major league team. I don't give a crap what the record of the Greensboro Grasshoppers is. I do like the name, Bill.
It is a good name. You know, maybe you should start caring about the Greensboro Grasshoppers, Joe, because those are the hitters that are going to save the day in 5 years.
Yeah.
When Ben Schemes Charrington is already gone, and
Ben Charrington
is gone, and the lease is coming up on the ballpark.
That's an exciting development for the Pirates. The record of the Greensboro Grasshoppers? Do they have little chirps when they run out on the field limits? Do grasshoppers chirp, or is that just crickets?
It's crickets.
What's the name for the... Isn't there an encompassing name that covers the whole genre of that type of insect that we hear at night? There's another name where you hear that backdrop of noise from grasshopper-like insects. You know the name.
Casetas or
yeah,
what?
Yes,
what are they
yes,
called?
Those.
Something like that.
Yeah, get the text line cooking on that. It's the soundtrack to every night in suburban Pittsburgh.
And
cicadas, that's right.
Cicadas,
yeah. I like that.
That's close.
And they're a close relative of the grasshoppers, aren't they?
Yeah, they're all cousins.
And I'm going to see the Indianapolis Indians in a couple weeks, I might add. On my way to seeing Caitlin Clark after I spent $400 for tickets, then lost the tickets on StubHub or some such thing.
How did you lose the tickets?
Then resold them. Didn't lose them. I bought tickets for the wrong day because they're playing the New York Liberty 3 weeks apart on a Saturday. So I type in Liberty Fever. I buy the tickets for $400. And then I realize that it's the wrong game. So I'm panicking at a volleyball tournament for my daughter on Saturday. Then I'm going to lose $400 because the game starts in 3 hours, the one I thought I bought 3 weeks ahead of time. But
$400? Are you sitting on the floor?
You wouldn't
That's
believe.
A lot for
tickets. You want to sit on the floor for Caitlin Clark and Indy? You're paying $1,400.
Gosh.
Oh, limitless wonder.
That's the hottest ticket in town, and the Pacers are in the playoffs going to the finals.
It's a hot ticket. So to make a long story longer, I resold them miraculously, went step by step and resold them on that site, and then rebought tickets again for $400. And I swear to you, not 24 hours later, the headline comes across that Caitlin Clark's out at least 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yep.
Maybe I shouldn't
crick,
go.
Joe. Might be up the crick.
But the moral of that story is I'm going to see Indy. And man, is their record ever important. Huh, Limits? Forget about the Grasshoppers. I want Indy to start winning ball games. Maybe they already are. I've lost track because I'm keeping track of the Pirates.
Jeff shared a number with me for Bucko Talk that the Indianapolis Indians offense out of 20 teams is like 19th in batting average, 19th in home runs. They're in the bottom three in every offensive category.
Who cares? The Grasshoppers are tearing it up.
The Grasshoppers are tearing it up. Yep, they are tearing up that grass. The ball is going right through the grass to the wall.
Listen, if things don't work out for you on the play-by-play front, which I think is one thing you'd like to do, but more radio front,
correct?
You'd be a great PR man. And if the PR people in Greensboro aren't making that sound of cicadas when this team takes the field, they're missing it, aren't they?
They truly are. Cicadas is what people are saying on the text line. People are also saying...
Are grasshoppers and cicadas related? Are they in the same... what do you call that? I guess genre would be the word.
I don't think same it would be genre.
Species?
Like the same, yeah.
The same. There's a word I'm missing that I'm trying to think of. They're under the same umbrella. Or are they?
According to this site that I can't pronounce. The main difference between a grasshopper and a cricket is that crickets tend to have long antennas. Grasshoppers have short antennas.
That ain't much, right?
Crickets sing by rubbing their wings together, while grasshoppers sing by rubbing their long hind legs against their wings.
That I did not know.
I didn't either.
That is absolutely incredible.
That's your need-to-know crickets and grasshoppers news of the day.
All right. Well, what's a cicada? Is that a form of cricket or grasshopper? And how different is their sound now that we've dived deep here? Remember we called around the country looking for a person named Jiminy Cricket? Were you part of that?
Or was I think
that
I was.
Was that one of your early assignments? And we couldn't find a single person in America named Jiminy, could we? Remember that, Limits?
No, I don't think we could.
Yeah, we tried.
Cicadas don't chew leaves or fly in swarms. They also don't hurt crops, according to scientists.
Mm, but make similar sounds.
But are grasshoppers and cicadas the same? Cicadas are not grasshoppers, the first line of this site says.
Mm,
from the Ohio State University.
That's a little bit of
and
a difference.
And the two look nothing
like. Maybe Jeff
like
Hathorn put out this information. Did he?
Possibly. Cicadas, a thread.
I don't want to read the thread.
I
want to move on. I'm glad that the grasshoppers are doing well. I truly am. But I'd like to see Bubba Chandler within 2 weeks. Limits is telling me that's possible. Did anybody ask the guy about Chandler yesterday or Sunday? When did he do his show?
Somebody asked him during the week on Chandler. And this is what Ben Cherington had to say.
Yeah, I think just as I said, I think that whole group of pitchers that I mentioned, we've got our eyes on all of them. And the hope is that there's a spot for all those guys I mentioned to come and contribute in 2025.
Enough. Okay, stop. All right, right. So you bring up Ashcraft, who actually looked pretty good, but Bubba Chandler is tearing up AAA and is the number two prospect in all of baseball. Which one is not like the others? It's him. So we agree then, in the end, a couple weeks, we're okay with it.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. I think also, Joe, the point of why they did not bring him up now is because they wanted to give Burroughs a long shot, and they
Stop with the excuses.
I'm not excusing it.
They're not bringing
him
up for financial reasons and for the end of his contract.
I also think that they want him to debut at home. This is not what I would do.
But please.
I'm just saying what I think they're doing.
No, if they were any good.
I'm not excusing it in no regard.
First of all, he should have been up before. Okay, I'm not writing this one off and just saying at the end, oh, okay, in a couple weeks, yay, he'll be up. He should have been up earlier. And the fact they've had good starting pitching, good for them. He should have been in that rotation.
He's good. He's one of their best five starters. There's not a doubt about it. But at this point, you might as well just wait another week.
I agree with that.
Get your Super 2 and
now, okay, so here's the best way to phrase it. Now that we're sure they did the wrong thing by keeping him in AAA, they might as well keep him there for a couple weeks. We agree on that line?
Yeah, we agree on that.
Okay. Let's keep, who's the guy you mentioned? In addition to Ashcraft?
Mike Burroughs.
Mike Burroughs. He could be good. I liked what I saw from him a little bit, but Ashcraft looked really good.
He's got a big breaking ball.
Yeah, big breaking ball.
And Ashcraft.
Both of them, yeah.
Yeah.
And the other guy who's not here, Steeler OTAs begin today, and that would be Mr. Aaron Rodgers. What is happening here? Should he be here? Your opinions on both of these, incidentally, you can register at 412-928-9370, 928-9370. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. I think that Rodgers should be here. However, I was meditating on this today. I had a opening soliloquy all written out, and then I said, do I really believe that? It was going to be something about how the Pittsburgh Steelers always used to take a stand. Like, you don't fight the Steelers because they win. You go ask Le'Veon Bell about that. You go all the way back to the 70s and ask some of those guys about that. Nobody stares down the Steelers. Well, somehow over time, actually this is making sense to me as I say it. Somehow over time, that's become, we want volunteers, not hostages. And if you merely pipe up a little bit, that's your ticket out of town. They no longer strike me as the big, bad, tough Steelers. And now that has manifested maybe in a rock bottom moment of sitting around waiting for a 41-year-old quarterback to tell them if he's going to play. So believe me, a big part of me was thinking that that's the way to go here. Now that I said it out loud, it might be. However, a bigger part of me says, as long as he's here in what, 2 weeks is when OTAs start? Limits?
Yeah, mandatory minicamp. Well, OTAs start today. Mandatory minicamp starts June 10th.
So about 2 weeks, right?
Pretty much. If he's not here by then.
Yes.
There are significant issues.
You're very disagreeable today, even on minute points. But I like that about you. So actually, the moral,
okay,
the real moral of the story is that both of these guys I'm willing to wait 2 weeks on. And I wasn't even thinking about that before the show. Chandler and Rogers. I'll wait 2 weeks. Not happy, mind you, about either. Both should have been here. Chandler on the team's call, Rogers on his call. He's making the Steelers look silly. I think everybody in the league agrees on that at this point. He's making them look silly, and he really should be here. I've said this a million times, and, you know, people walk up to you at cookouts, even though my family wasn't invited to one again, and just generally out in public, and they'll say, man, you guys talk about Aaron Rodgers a lot. And then, as Crowley said this morning, he got the same thing. 2 seconds later, they're peppering me with questions about Aaron Rodgers. I was told a long time ago, Limits, and take this as a lesson, that when in doubt, talk Steelers quarterback or write Steelers quarterback, because everybody cares. And now we've reached sort of a flashpoint in the Rodgers saga, in that most of the team is going to get together here today, including for what will amount to, I don't know, like 6 workouts. That's not an insignificant number. His receivers, his tight ends, his offensive line, his running backs, and his coordinator. The whole damn offense. And he's not here. So he's really projecting to the world that he doesn't care that much. That's the only way to read that. Or that he's extremely conflicted. And I understand there are maybe some severe personal issues. Maybe some people in his life are sick, as he mentioned, I think, on the Joe Rogan interview. I completely understand that, and that's way more important than anything. But he seems to have found the time. Well, the Joe Rogan show. Did he not fly halfway across the country for that?
Yes, he did. In the middle of last week, he did that. He was at the Kentucky Derby. He was at this festival over the weekend or last week talking about fielding questions where he's going to play next year.
Where do the Steelers fall on his list of priorities? And is it not important? Like, is this, I don't know, Pollyannish or silly or something? I don't even know what Pollyannish means. It's just
either
a word that came into my mind. To say you should be there for OTAs, it's logical. It just makes sense. Did Doran have an opinion on that this morning? Can you text him?
Pollyannish is a person who is constantly or excessively optimistic.
Oh.
Derived forms.
Yeah. I also meant it meant like I don't know, like a wussy take, you
Ooh.
Know? Yeah. I don't know about that. Can you text Doran and see where he falls on should Rodgers be at OTAs?
Sure.
Can you text him that?
I will do that right now.
Because I'm with a new team, a new coordinator, new personnel, and every little detail matters, both team-wise and with each individual. That just makes sense. I'm going to be the new leader of this team. I'm walking in here as the guy. I suddenly become absolutely the biggest story and therefore, by extension, the face of the franchise. Maybe only for 10 minutes, maybe for 1 year. But that just puts more of an emphasis on get here as soon as you can. I think it's ridiculous that he's not here. What did Doran say?
Not anything yet, but I'm just looking at the tweeters that are sending us a picture of a cat whited from Johnny on Twitter, which is another
a picture of what?
That makes a lot of that makes sounds.
Oh,
another
yeah.
insect.
Yeah.
Just like the cicadas and the
Are you afraid of insects generally, Limits?
There was a bug that flew onto my face yesterday.
sounded.
It didn't feel good. And then it was flying in the middle of the air, and I grabbed it with my hand, and I snatched it.
That's dangerous. I don't that because then they bite the hand.
No,
they
bite, it was like
they
a
bit the hand
bug,
that fed them, so to speak.
No, it's feeding them.
He should be here. Do we agree on that?
Yes. Yes, he should be here. Learn the new offense. Get in here. Like, come on, Aaron. Like, what are we waiting for here?
Terminology, timing, personnel, leadership. All of that. Those things take time to build. Maybe he'll prove everybody wrong and arrive in 2 weeks or the beginning of training camp as a hired gun and just come in here and light it up. But this ain't baseball. This is not an individual sport. There's so much involved with all the categories I just mentioned. Timing with your receivers. I mean, it's nice that he had a catch session with DK Metcalf, you know. Your coordinator and all the terminology. This is not New York where you went in and had your own offense. He probably used the same terminology he used in Green Bay. Like, I'm bringing my offense here. Everybody pay attention to me. I know half the personnel because I brought it here. I know the coordinator because I hired him myself before I fired the coach myself. This is not there, although it's starting to look like it. I'll tell you that much. That's your cue to editorialize yourself, Limits. I thought that was a good line.
I'm just so exhausted with this Aaron Rodgers thing, Joe, which I know a lot of our listeners
are. Well, stop being exhausted because today is a flashpoint and we need a strong opinion.
He's supposed to be here. He should be here. Like, by far, the fact that he's not, and he's not in like Egypt or anything, he's probably just
that we know of.
He's probably just hanging out in Malibu today. What good does he get from that? Like, we had all these discussions on, oh, well, maybe he just wanted the schedule to not be manipulated where he has a primetime game in New York or this or that. He doesn't like primetime games. Or, oh, maybe Aaron Rodgers is waiting to see if the Steelers draft a quarterback. All of that is past. Enough of the excuses. Like, the Steelers have to apply some heat on this guy to get here. I don't know what that is, but they got to do it.
Well, do you have the quote from Art from like a month ago? We're not going to wait forever. Well, when does forever expire? Like, when is that? How did that? That was from way back.
What can you tell us, Art, about Aaron Rodgers and the pursuit of him?
Nothing new on the Aaron Rodgers front. See what happens, and you know, hopefully we'll know something soon.
Are you content to wait?
Well, not forever. A little while longer.
That was on April 1st, 2 months ago. A little while longer. So what's a little while, so, Art? Like 3 months?
Any way you slice it, the Steelers are being made to look bad here. Aaron Rodgers is making it clear to the world, and he may very well have a handshake behind the scenes, but that doesn't negate the fact that he's making the Steelers look silly and telling the world, I'm going there on my terms whenever I damn well feel like it. Won't be there for OTAs, won't get in that extra work. Now, I suppose he could surprise us. He could be on a plane right now. He could be listening right now. Limits, do you want to throw him the number?
Hi, Aaron, 412-928-9370, if you would like to chime in. We would love to hear from you. We would love to talk to you. A texter says that they think that they saw you at a gas station today, but I'm not going to take that for what it is.
No, I came straight from home.
No.
Never stopped at a gas station. This is like an Aaron Rodgers signing.
No, they said that they saw Aaron Rodgers. At a gas station.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I'm not taking
those
calls anymore.
We're not going there again.
Yeah.
No.
4-1, do we have that guy's, the one line that guy gave us last week? What was it, Brett the cleaner?
Yeah, Brett the cleaning man from the South Side. He said that he saw Aaron Rodgers.
All right, so Joe, here's the deal. I'm not a flaky guy, and I don't know what this means. I'm not going to say he's signing today and announcing it today or in 2 months, but in the Strip District this morning at 6:15, I saw Aaron Rodgers coming out of a hotel. And it's confirmed by one of the hotel employees. So
there you go. Seems to be some doubt has been cast on that story, Limits.
Some doubt, yes.
All right. Your thoughts on either one of these guys. The number two prospect in the entire land, Bubba Chandler. We've barely talked about him. Where is he? Are you okay, like Limits and I, that now that the Pirates have gone this far, 2 more weeks isn't going to kill you on Bubba Chandler. And Aaron Rodgers, big deal, small deal, no deal, that this guy still isn't here. Not only that, It's not that he's not here as much as he's not committed yet. Like, would you have felt differently? Now Limits is on the phone. And that's his job. I'm not blaming him, no matter what my voice sounded like there. Would it be different if Rodgers said publicly, I'm in. I'm heading to Pittsburgh. I'll be there for minicamp. Would that make you feel different?
We had two people that just called in claiming to be Aaron Rodgers, and they were coming here to kick your ass.
Would it be different for you, Limits, if Rodgers said publicly last week, I want to announce I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler. You know, I had some things to work out, and I'll be there for mandatory minicamp. Would that have you feeling differently about him missing OTAs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I would, because it's out there. It's up front. Now, if he has this agreement and everything with the Steelers, but the Steelers at least publicly have said, yeah, we don't really necessarily know what's going on. The schedule makers, Mike North, said, yeah, we talked to the Steelers. They're not 100% sure Aaron's going to be here. So I don't even think the Steelers truly know. They're just holding out hope right now.
I'm still of the mind that he's absolutely coming here, by
too.
The way. Absolutely. He dropped the hint the other day, but his way of going about it is embarrassing to them. They should make him pay for $10 million, which he said he would play for, and let's get this thing done. 412-928-9370. It's just making the Steelers look ridiculous. Two extremely prominent athletes should have already been in Pittsburgh, at least for a quick visit in one case, and they should be here by now. One is the number two prospect in all of baseball, just threw a no-hitter through six innings the other day in AAA, where he's absolutely tearing it up. His name is Bubba Chandler. Limits and I have reached a point where the Pirates waited so long. Probably should have been with the team just like Jared Jones right out of spring training, or Skeens. When was Skeens called up, Bo Limitless Wonder?
May 11th last year.
Instead, and I know the starting pitching was good, but you make room for a potential star in the number two prospect in all of baseball. But now that they've waited this long, what's another couple weeks? The team stinks. So that really, at this point, at least to us, and I don't want to speak for you, Limits, I never would even dream of that, is immaterial. You might as well, save a year on the other end so that whoever they trade him to at the end of his deal will have that extra. You'll have that extra year as bargaining power anyway.
Well,
right?
It's really that you would have him for an extra year, and then you're still going to probably trade him with 1 year left or 2 years left.
So you
but
get
you
an
would
extra
have Chandler
year. Yeah.
For an extra year. Yeah,
wonderful
that's the main point,
Limits. Yeah, and then the other guy who's not here is Aaron Rodgers.
You're not going to get an extra year of control on him. You probably don't want an extra year of control on him.
And how this is just dragging on and on and on and on, and he should be here for OTAs as the new leader of the team.
Now, Doran has chimed in.
Yes, what did he say?
Doran said, because I asked him, do you think Rodgers should be at OTAs? He said, not OTAs, but he should be at mandatory minicamp.
Okay, that's fair, coming from an NFL player. And that could help sway some opinions. How many times, I wonder, though, did Tom Brady miss OTAs with the Patriots? That would be, ask Doran, when you were with the Patriots, was Brady at OTAs? Can you ask him that? Say,
yes.
I'm not badgering you, but Starkey was curious, because I don't want to get Dorn angry because he was already mad at me because I didn't know he was the fastest player on his pit teams from this morning. He left angry. Okay?
Sent.
All right. He should be here, I think. What do you think? 412-928-9370 about those two situations that are brewing here as we start the week on a Tuesday. Limits, let's go to the phone lines, shall we? Brian Batko waiting at OTAs to join us. Top of the hour from the Post-Gazette. He's on site, so he'll have some answers for us on some other matters. And who knows, maybe on Rodgers. Maybe Rodgers shocks us and just walks right past Brian Batko as he's on the air with us. Who do we have?
That would be incredible. Here is KP in the car. He wants to talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Hi, KP.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Good morning. I kind of want to just add my two cents on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, I kind of just feel like, you know, as we all feel, like the Pittsburgh standard has just, like, diminished tremendously. If this were the Steelers of, like, 7-8 years ago, this charade wouldn't continue to go on. At this point, I feel like Aaron Rodgers is really not going to help us. He's kind of going to just help us, like, just stay in neutral and not really take any steps forward. You know, in my humble opinion, we should just roll with Mason Rudolph for a year, have a losing season, and just get into the top 10 and draft a quarterback next year. Not saying that that's going to mean the next guy's going to be a franchise guy, but, I mean, I'd rather Mason come here, do what he does, and just let the ball roll and just flip the coin.
Well, I don't disagree with a lot of what you just said, and my friend Benzie, Tim Benz. You know what? Whenever his name comes up, Limits, I love to get the last answer and question to Mike Tomlin at that news conference when nobody had asked, this was a couple weeks later, the last time people had a chance to address Tomlin about Pickens being late to the Chiefs' Christmas Day game. Tomlin and the Steelers thought they had escaped the year without a question on that. And in comes Benzie on a flying trapeze.
Mike, is there any, any accuracy to the report that Pickens was late on Christmas Day to the game against the Chiefs?
Man, that's a few days back. I really don't know I have the answer to that, to be quite honest with you. I got a lot going on in pregame. I can't answer that definitively.
Man, is that beautiful stuff. Okay, so we get to Benzie today in his column at the Trib, talking about Dan Graziano from ESPN. And we're going to hear a clip in a moment from Dan, and I think he summarizes this whole thing pretty well. But he also says here that the Steelers don't hate Mason Rudolph. He helped them to the playoffs, blah, blah, blah. So Graziano says, so I think if Rodgers shows up, they're fine with it. If he doesn't show up, they're fine with it. And Benzie says, agreed, they don't hate Rudolph. But if they really liked him, they wouldn't be waiting for Rodgers like this, would they? Would they, Limits?
No.
Let's play Graziano.
Here is what Dan Graziano had to say on ESPN Radio.
I think if you got the Steelers and you gave them truth serum, what they would tell you is, we didn't really like any of the options that were available at quarterback this offseason, including Aaron Rodgers. So we're just kind of going with what we ended up being left with. Like, they didn't feel like spending more on Justin Fields than the Jets did. They didn't feel like bringing Russell Wilson back. They didn't feel, for whatever reason, like playing on Sam Darnold in free agency or drafting a quarterback in the first five rounds. So I think around the time of the draft, I got the sense the Steelers were looking at like the next two drafts, the one that just happened and the one next year, as possibly a better option for addressing their long-term quarterback situation.
And they went on to say the Rudolph stuff that I mentioned. Man, if that doesn't leave you pumped up for Steelers season, I don't know what would.
I'm going to grab my towel right now.
Why? Let's, in a second, just replay his first couple of sentences where he finishes with, so we're just kind of going with what we ended up being left with.
I think if you got the Steelers and you gave them truth serum, what they would tell you is, we didn't really like any of the options that were available at quarterback this offseason, including Aaron Rodgers. So we're just kind of going with what we ended up being left with.
Woo! Let's go!
Woo! Put it up there on the banner. Steelers quarterback, what we were left with.
Now, why is it like this? Because they made a horrific... Oh, no, I'm sorry. Mike Tomlin made a horrific mistake by drafting Kenny Pickett in the first round because they identified Mason Rudolph as a first-round pick and chose him as Ben's eventual successor. Failed there too because they failed to take Lamar Jackson when he was available. They failed to take Jalen Hurts when he was readily available, et cetera, et cetera. It's the Trubisky train.
There was no doubt about it.
Well, yeah, I forgot about him, too. Now, I was on board with a couple of those things. And they failed with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. They love Mason Rudolph, man. Don't they just love him? I guess that's why they got rid of him without a legit contract offer last year and brought in Fields and Wilson. And then this year, they're waiting on Aaron Rodgers for whenever the hell he decides he's coming here. Like, anybody needed more proof about the Steelers and their feelings toward Mason Rudolph? He says it well there. Actually, Benzie says it better. If the Steelers really, really liked Mason Rudolph, they probably would have gone about the whole Mason Rudolph situation differently, I don't know, starting 8 years ago? Something like that? But they haven't. Who's next, Limits?
Here is Gary in the car.
Hey, Joe. How you doing today?
Good. Hello, Gary.
Hey, a couple quick points with Charrington. You know, people look at different things with him. One of the things that drive me absolutely crazy is the fact that he won't bring up talented players from the minor leagues, and he's influenced by the six-year
Well,
control.
See, I have to jump early here. I have to jump early. They brought Jared Jones north with the team last year, and then Skeens was up by the first, second week in May.
Well, they had no choice in those two, if you take a look at the history. If Skeens, there would have been a revolt by the all of us fans here in Pirate World. But the Jones thing, if you look at who they picked up that year in free agency, they didn't have any choice but to have Jones the way he was pitching in the spring training. They had no choice but to keep him.
Right, but your statement that they never do it is a little off these days. But go ahead.
Well, if you look at their players, let's look at position players like Jeb Stonair. He's a college ball player. He's, 23, 24 years old. They're not going to bring him up until he's 25 or 26 because they want to keep him between the ages of, 25 and 30, 31, six-year control. And this has been a problem with them. If you look at other teams, you look at Atlanta, look at all the teams that are bringing up players at 19 and 20 years old. They're ball players. They don't care about the age. They don't care about the six-year control. They don't care. That's not the
Well, that's not true either, man. Many, many, many teams, and I appreciate the call, do what the Pirates do. You mentioned Chris Bryant with the Cubs all those years ago.
Yeah, it was an uproar about that when it happened.
I have a million things in front of me that I could rip the Pirates on. I'm not sure this is one of them. I will say this, though. Bubba Chandler should have been here. So the latest one is the best example. He should have been here. My only point is now that he's not, and now that they stink, what difference does it make? Wasn't there just a pirate? A pirate.
What's that a combination of?
It has been a season-long tire fire here. It's the Pirates. Wasn't there just a report on all their minor leaguers? Who was he talking about? Mitch Jeb?
Yeah, Mitch Jeb's actually hitting .311.
Where?
Double A.
Okay.
He was also a college bat. That's why he's an older player. He's 23.
Okay, how many homers?
None.
Yeah, none. So, I think people look at some of these guys and say, he should be here. Well, no, he shouldn't. He has no home runs in Double A. What position is he, Malzi?
He's a middle infielder.